Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wiehunt the Barbarian.
America, we will not kneel to tyrants. There will always be wars and rumors of wars. We will not kneel to principalities and evil powers. We welcome you to our big show tonight, Epic, episode 69. And the theme tonight is the Del Rio, Texas border. We're so glad you're here tonight. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in very high places, my friends. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies always, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty demonic powers in this dark world. We fight against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil that is coming in the day, weeks, and months ahead, my friends. God will judge our enemies, but we will always arrange the meeting. Do not be fooled. This is not natural immigration at our border. It's all but a planned, well-funded, an orchestrated invasion of America. It is designed on purpose to implode and collapse the country from within, economically and by civil unrest, violence, and chaos. As I have told you before, the most powerful man in the world right now is the American patriot. All other nations have told us repeatedly that they look up to the American patriot, that they are looking to us for leadership, for fortitude, for direction on a massive worldly scale. Tonight, as in any show night, I will tell you the truth. We don't mince words or punches on my show. Other shows we'll do that, and that is not the business of the Von Wiehunt Show. Many people on the radio today are well-meaning, well-intentional. Some may act very pious, and they wrap themselves in the flag or the Bible or the bygone days of America. I will tell you straight from my heart and mind what I believe is really going on. On the overt scale, behind the scenes, and even the undercurrent and the powerful riptide currents in America. I don't claim to be a holy man. I don't claim to be the most pious man in the room or the most godly man. Many of the radio hosts will tell you that they are. And that's fine, and that's their business. I don't claim that. I don't claim things which I am not. I try, as God is my witness, and I always do my best. But I know that the man upstairs, the Almighty One, the creator of the universe and cosmos, has got my back. Because when I ask for wisdom or anything of that nature, he responds to me, and my prayers get answered. And right now, if I look in the crystal ball of America, and you look at the news, and you look at what's going on, America has gone dark. No one can argue right now that we are the shining city on a hill anymore. I wish that were not true. Under Biden-Harris regime, we're going downhill and collapsing very fast. We all saw the photographs from Del Rio, Texas, and the border this past week. It's a symptom, in my view, of a much, much bigger, deeper problem. Now, most other radio talk show hosts will go into numbers, and they'll go into the trivial symptoms and other things, but they don't really go to the root of a lot of these issues that I will be more than happy as your host to talk about, because everything is on the table tonight. So our government once stood for liberty and freedom. They've been hacked by hostile forces, hacked and hijacked, I may add. They have turned the lights out in America. We have gone dark, figuratively and literally. America is very sick, ladies and gentlemen. America is on life support. But we are the doctors. We are the surgeons who will do the necessary heavy lifting and work and surgery if need be to bring this nation back to radiant and abundant life and vigorous health. And that is what we want. Tonight, like any night, we all welcome our new callers. They can dial in at 563-999-3437 all across the nation and the world. You don't understand the power that you have as a new caller. Do you realize that you get in first in line on this show? And if you've got something to say and you're looking for a platform to say it, well, this is a show for you. Welcome to church, my friends. Each week on Thursday nights, we meet at church. Welcome to the altar of real wisdom and knowledge, the altar and funeral pyre of our great Viking ancestors. Sounds a little bit like Del Rio, Texas down there. And don't forget that Clint Eastwood, who was the great cowboy in those Italian spaghetti westerns, was always called the man with no name. He was a deplorable of the West, the dreg of society. As he wrote from town to town, no one knew what his name was, but he wreaked havoc when attacked, and he was very instrumental in conquering the West, as we are as well. Now, I'll say about the concept of the live show versus the show podcast. I had some inquiries last week and some emails over the past month or so as well that people are a little confused on how the show is structured. So let's go over that for some show housekeeping, if we will. As all of you know, the show is live for 2 hours on Blog Talk Radio from 8 to 10. Now, in the radio contract I have, we can go into overtime, and I've got an extra 30 minutes normally on the show night. So we got a lot of callers, a lot of great callers. I want to give you some airtime, and I want to hear from you in the nation. This is a show where we do want to hear from you. Most shows, they do not want to hear from you. It's all about the host talking for 2 or 3 hours straight, nonstop, without a break, and no one can take that for 3 hours. I listen to many shows. They take no calls. They don't want to hear from the American public at all, yet they talk a big game like they do. On my show, we put truth in action. You can call the show. You can get on the air. You can talk the entire nation and 15 countries and counting all across the world. Having said that, a lot of people listen to the show live. That is the majority, yes. But you'd be surprised, I would say about 30% of our listenership, maybe more. I'd say actually it's 60-40. 60% roughly is the live show. And I get a lot of people that will go to the podcast. Now, once the show is done in Hollywood terms, we put it in the can, right? It gets uploaded to Blog Talk. It's in my archive show list. So I've noticed a lot of people don't always listen live, and they grab the show like Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday morning when they're doing their bills, having a cup of coffee. So just so you know, if you get on late, you will be heard by people all across the nation and all across the world who grab the podcast, also with various time zones, obviously. They will listen to the show when it's convenient for them. A lot of people have figured out, hey, I can listen to the Von Wien show 2 or 3 times. And I've also noticed that when they grab the podcast, a lot of the people in my stats will listen to it a couple of times. And then they share it on their social media. We get a list of all that in the stats. So you're listened to, even if you call in at overtime. Keep that in mind, folks. Now, we try to get you all on timely. Sometimes we have calls that come in, and we're trying to move the calls a little bit. But if someone's on a great rant, I will, as you know, give them the floor. So, moving on. I just wanted to let you all know that for what it's worth. Immigration to this country is an effing disaster, to be blunt. We need to beat back the migrants. Now, these Haitians on the Del Rio, Texas border are 2,000 miles away from their home in Haiti. It is our duty and our patriotic duty, I may add, to repatriate them, to reunite them with their extended families in Haiti. It's the Christian and just thing to do, you know. It's all about family, as we know. The poor women of Haiti need their able-bodied men back to help them out. It's not fair that the military-age men are on the Texas border 2,000 frickin' miles away from home, seeking to cut out on their responsibilities back home and their duties to their families. Not fair. America's all about being just and fair. Wouldn't you agree? Well, I say we must help the Haitian women get off any way they can, in the sense of getting their men back to the great country of Haiti. It's where these women live. It's where they raise their families. We have to help them get their men back with at any cost, no matter what happens. So we all know it's the just and Christian thing to do. We just want to reunite families all over the world. The Von Wien Show stands with the women of Haiti. Now, no one's brought up the women of Haiti this entire week except my show. We're the only ones talking about the families and the women. We're pro-family on my show. And wink, wink, nod, nod, those men need to go back to their families there. Don't let the corrupt Democrat mass media in our country tug at your heartstrings, America, and tell you that you should care, quote unquote, so much so to let everyone into our country that wants to come in. I've told you before, we have 100 million people in the third world that want to emigrate to America, that want to come here, and counting. Because once they come in, they run and hide. Virtually impossible to ever get them out. It's much easier to keep them out at the border than to allow them into the USA and access to our country via the border area. And don't you dare call my radio show and whine about this situation or saying that they're hungry, they're cold, they're thirsty. Not my problem. Or I will hang up on you, guarantee. No more Mr. Nice Guy in America. We've had several decades of that, and it gets us nowhere. Capiche? Right now in America, there is no Marvel superhero, if you will, in the wings ready to inspire the nation towards a hard or even velvet revolution against these dark, sinister forces who are bringing in these people by the boatload, who have taken the reins over our society. Now, these Haitians and others like them from all over the world, we've had Chinese on the border before. We've had people from South America. They're 10,000 miles away in some circumstances. People from the Middle East have been on that Texas border. Who's funding this? Who is giving them passage and transport, airfares, boat fares, food, water, directions? It's an orchestrated plan to flood America. For a long time, it was called the browning and blackening of America. And there are nefarious groups that want to change our demographics. They desperately want to flip these red states into blue states. They definitely want to attack us from within. In my view, we have entered now one of the most dangerous periods in the country's history. We've been continuously lied to by the so-called experts like Dr. Mengele Fauci regarding the COVID vaccine. Our borders are under attack daily. I'm sure you all love that photograph of the cowboy who grabbed the Haitian by his shirt. We need more of that. Yes, we need more of that. They're all whining about the lariat he used or the reins of his horse. We should have been doing this 20, 30, 40 years ago. Use the lariat as often as you want to. If I was up there, that would be the dictate to those guys. Do what you got to do. We either have a border and we're a country or we don't have a border. And under Biden and Harris, I would just tell them that, let's just face it, you want an open border. Now, they shipped back a few people to Haiti. They deported a few. It's a trickle in the bucket, not quite enough. They did it for show. The rest, if you read the fine print like I did, they're going to release them all over the country. Thousands of them will be dropped, dumped in your town and city. No money, no job, no nothing. And they're going to be dumped all over the country. So get ready for it. A lot of people will say that, well, we feel that they're just incompetent at the government level, but I say no, they do have a hidden agenda. Once again, it's problem, reaction, solution. The Hegelian dialectic, it's called. This was before the Orwellian doublespeak campaign we hear at the White House press conferences and their revisionist history. They've been implementing this open border with haste. They want to allow as many people in to the nation as they can. Now, also coinciding with this, we have this COVID vaccine narrative, which is collapsing in the media under the weight of facts and data and doctors and videos and journalists and others brave enough to speak out and warn the public about the toxins in that vaccine. Most of these people, the whistleblowers, have now been disappeared from social media by the Silicon Valley thought police, who act like our dictatorial national political censors, and they too are guilty and complicit. By now, it should be very clear to any open-minded, critical-thinking individual, and our show is known for critical thinking, that this COVID fiasco has never been about your health. And by the way, all the Haitians that are coming in, they are not given the COVID shot, which is proof positive that our government does not care about the COVID shot. They really care. Think about it. They would give them all the mandatory jab. But isn't it funny that they want the mandatory jab for you, Mr. and Mrs. America, but there's no COVID jab for all the Haitian, quote-unquote, migrants? They are not required to get the COVID shot. That right there blows the entire government argument out of the water. Our current government has an insatiable appetite for power and control over how our society functions. Again, it's not about the migrants or the immigrants. It's about you and me controlling middle America. I always say, look and see who benefits and who reaps the financial rewards. Always follow the money. Now, Big Pharma generates a huge portion of advertising revenues for big media and the medical industrial complex. And no one's coined that term but me, which you will hear other people talk about now. The medical industrial complex of hospitals, doctors, and researchers. We are fighting a corporate deep state behemoth and monster with ties to deep red communism that they want to implement into America. Right now they're trying to do a soft form or brand of communism, which will then be aided and abetted by Zuckerberg and Gates and Fauci and Soros and other numerous, in my view, psychotic sociopaths in government, the mass media, and the corporate world, which has also been hijacked and bought outright. Corporate America is now bought and paid for. I told you before, like other talk radio shows, we want to hear from the people in the cities, the towns, the gridirons, the farms and ranches all over the nation, in the country, from the bases, and from the back alleys, and even the forgotten smaller towns. Our show is for you, as we strike fear into the enemies of the nation. The Man in the High Castle, what a fantastic show that was out a year or so, and I've seen the entire program. When the government forces the implosion of our nation, the collapse of it through open borders, through crazy economic spending, it's called the Cloward-Piven strategy. Google it. In my view, they'll be very surprised to find out what really happens. So be ready out there, my Patriot Viking brothers. The hour strikes soon. Seems like Biden and Harris are just itching for a fight to piss you off, to implode your neighborhood, doing everything they can as quickly as they can to collapse America, because Biden's been installed and told this is what your job is. Collapse America's borders, collapse America's economy, and do it with haste, with dispatch. Now, last week we talked about the traitorous generals in our Pentagon. How many more Benedict Arnold generals do we have in our government right now? We have a lot. And we have other officers, too, that are complicit. The leftist media I've read this week, is their narrative is trying to spin the story that General Mark Milley kept a lid quote-unquote, on President Trump. Hilarious. And by the way, the chain of command, General, does not work from the bottom up. It works from the top down, i.e. chain of command. President Trump was the commander-in-chief. The general, you are below him. You're not side-by-side with him. You are below him in rank. I'm going to have a new radio segment entitled Stupid General Stories going forward each week. I'm going to be finding these on the internet and telling you. So stay tuned, America. Unbelievable. Now, all archive shows can be found on the Blog Talk website. We also talked last week about Trump draining the swamp in Washington, D.C. Well, often told you it's not a swamp. It's an ocean of corruption. We have a very long way to go. It's much bigger than a swamp, and we have to plug the swamp and get rid of it. One way or the other. Now, immigration is still the number one issue in this country. Now, our border is under siege, as you know. We talked about immigration on the last show. And last week, we even heard from Kat from Canada, our new caller. We also heard from new callers Keiko Kelly and EMFP3 from Louisiana. We want you all to call and get your friends to call and get the word out about the show. Now, I told you then, I'll tell you now, I think what everyone needs to do, if you look at our situation, is to self-balkanize now while you still can. What does that mean? That means to move. That means action. Like in Hollywood, they say, lights, camera, action. Get around your own people. Yes, by all means, get tribal. Others do it. Why not you? Other groups do it all the time. It's fine for them. So why isn't it fine for you? Our federal government actually encourages tribalism. That's that new dirty word they can't stand in the inner cities of America. They encourage gangs. They encourage people to group together. They also encourage tribalism by bringing in broad swaths of people from the third world who never assimilate, but who only want to stick with their own kind. But God forbid if you're a patriot and you meet up with other patriots and want to organize or assemble or band together in some way, and all hell breaks loose. See, here's the deal, folks. They don't want you to organize or you to assemble. You're the patriots. You're the ones, the backbone of the country. We're the ones that make the country work, in other words. That they can't tolerate. That they can't have. But by God, they do want your enemies to assemble and organize while those groups will keep chipping away at your neighborhood and your streets. It's the attrition. The chipping away, the incrementalism, bit by bit by bit. Over time, you wake up one day and you realize, where the hell is my country? Where the hell is my state? What happened to my neighborhood? Unbelievable. But this is what they want. If you're a guy in the country, if you're a patriot guy, and you're surrounded by gangs or ghettos or infestations of all kinds of things, get the hell out of there. I don't care what you say. Everyone's got money for gas. Everyone can find transportation. If you have to buy a bus ticket to move to the Rocky Mountains. Because back east, anything east of the Rockies, we view out west as old America. Now, there are many good pockets out there where it's strong and good. Indiana, Missouri, parts of Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, north part of Arkansas, parts of Tennessee, other places out in that neck of the woods. You just got to find them. But on the long and short of it, that part of the country is being overrun by immigrants and by tons of immigration. We get some out west, but nothing like they get back east. Keep that in mind, too. Now, I want to take this time to talk about my friend's birthday, which is today. He was a great friend of mine. He's up there with our Lord in heaven. His name is Joe Lascola. His birthday was September 23rd, And what a wonderful, great friend he was. I was working in Scottsdale a few years back when I got the call that he was in the Scottsdale Hospital off Osborne. And it's a real eerie thing when you go to the hospital. And I heard wailing and crying hallways away. Well, it was his wife and all of her friends. I walked in there, and my friend was on a gurney, deceased. And they told me that he died of an aneurysm very quickly. He was a very good friend of mine. We worked together, and he was just loved by everybody. Joe Lascola, my Italiano friend from California, may he rest in peace with our Lord. I thought of him, and I've talked to his wife this past week, who's still distraught, and he thinks very highly of her Josh, of her Joe, Angelica. Well, we toast Joe Lascola on the Von Wehen Show. Let me tell you, Joe loved current events. He loved politics. He was on our side, patriot to the core, great friend, great guy, great all-around guy, nice to everybody, as we are, until they prove us wrong, right? But Joe was a real special guy, and we're going to toast him tonight. And I don't forget my friends, and we will back up Joe, and we will give him the honor that is due. But let me tell you, when those things happen in life, a lot of times, folks, I've told you before, sometimes things just land in your lap. There's nothing that you can do but go forward. You have to accept it and move on. I was shocked to the core that my friend has died on his birthday. You know, and then you go to the hospital and there he is. It's like life is staring right back at you. Reality 101, you know, after commiserating, talking to his wife and his parents were there too. I was just like in shock. You deal with those things in life, but you process them as best you can. But it's an eerie thought, you know, and but he was a great friend. I remember his smile and his demeanor. And if more Americans were like Joe Lascola, wow, this country would be a shining city on the hill once again. Kind animals, kind to his family, a smart guy, went to college in California. He worked in several businesses, had lots of friends. Hard worker, pro-military, pro-police, loved his neighborhood, protected it, loved his wife, fantastic guy. If more Americans were like Joe Lascola, I'm telling you, this country would get out of the doldrums and with lightning speed. So Joe Lascola, we know you're looking down on us. And by the way, you love the talk radio, Joe Lascola. You would have loved to come on this show. Unfortunately, I started this show right about when he passed away. So he would have loved to have come on the Von Wehen Show, and he would have definitely been a regular. So I toast you from my studio, my champagne glass, Joe Lascola. We wish you well. We will see you again, my friend. Like they said in the movie Gladiator, not yet. Not yet, Joe. There's more that we have to do on planet Earth, right? That's right. Well, that's my long-distance dedication to Joe Lascola through the heavens and cosmos. Now, in our next segment, Did You Know America? In this segment, did you know that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. recently said this? Now, get this. Anthony Fauci, he said, put $500 million of our dollars into that vaccine. Fauci owns half the patent, America. He has five guys who are working for him who are entitled to collect royalties from that COVID vaccine. So you have a corrupt system, and now they got a vaccine. And get this, drum roll, please. It's too big to fail. That's the punchline. The COVID vaccine is too big to fail. And that's why you see them pushing it. a booster shot. Now you need 5 booster shots to be fully vaccinated. Last week was 4 booster shots. It changes week to week. And that is what's happening. They're going to make a lot of money. They already have off this so-called COVID vaccine. Well, we'll summarize immigration in America and the big push to make America into something it is clearly not. And in summary, here are the facts. Within a few decades, a dramatic shift of ethnicity will take place inside America. Within 20 years, America will be minority white, and our government officials love this. And then officially, we will be a third world country because of it. Don't think for a minute that all these immigrants are going to push America to first world status. They will not. We will lose our status. You mark my words. We're doing it now. People dislike being ethnically replaced. And right now in America, if you don't like it, they basically want to make it a crime or even a hate crime just that you mention it or acknowledge it. At a certain point, your country stops being how your ancestors designed it for you to be and starts being how your ethnic replacements want it to be for you. The disastrous problems of ethnic replacement were known long ago. White ethnic replacement will continue to be hard and ugly in this country. We will spell it out on my show. Most shows won't even touch this topic with a 10-foot pole. They've been cut. They've been beaten back, browbeaten, told you can't mention that. How dare you? We're going to lose our sponsor for an itch cream or a new dog food. I can hear it now. But on my show, I am the program director. That is the distinct difference. Our enemies say that this replacement is humane. Make no mistake about it. The dispossession of white America has been planned for a while. We will spell it out. You must organize now and self-balkanize now if you have not already done so. Behind the majority of people in this country, often effectively concealed, there is always a sinister minority or a secret society type of group eager only for its own advantage and willing to adopt any idea or device, however outrageous, to get what it really wants, which is control over you and your family and your friends and your daily life. It's where the rubber meets the frickin' road. It's very obvious that we have a puppet in the White House who was installed, pulled by wires, with very dangerous weapons at his disposal and in his hands. There's always been a sinister minority operating in the shadows of government, pulling the wires or the levers of power of whoever is in the White House. If they don't comply with the orders of those pulling those wires, they receive what's called the JFK treatment. Trump's noncompliance resulted in the deep state coup, which effectively removed him from office. If you recall, they had a coup where we had an obvious stolen type of election. Ballot bots, ballots were found in trash cans, dumpsters, in cars, all over the place. It was a mess. Let's just face it, America, it was a mess. And you know it's true. With an avalanche of extrajudicial executive orders and mandates and unconstitutional actions, Biden is doing the bidding of his political masters and those who installed him to take down and collapse the real America. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. It's like vampires at the throat of real America, vampires sucking the blood of this great country. It's people trying to sack them, and they're always trying to demoralize you. They're always trying to make you feel bad and make you feel that you have no power and you can't do anything. Well, you can. Don't let the vampires get you down, boys. Keep your powder dry out there. They are sucking the blood of America. They are sucking our strength We will defeat them. And with that, we'll start the legendary Von Wehunt Show. So glad that you're all here. She looks like the girl you ever wanted. She looks like the girl who could give you everything. A kiss is strong like hell and she likes it. Got the look that could kill. Can you see the greed in her eyes? It's far too late. She's the one, vampire. I keep longing for your love. She's the one, vampire. Those controlling Biden definitely believe that they are intellectually superior and that they are the smartest people in the room. They feel that they must use psychological manipulation, media brainwashing, and various propaganda techniques to achieve their goal of one world globalist government in which they strongly desire to rule over all of us with an iron fist the rest of time immortal with their tech wizardry, and they're always telling us how high-tech they are with their 24/7 rollout of more technological surveillance and all kinds of advances in AI. These sociopaths are evil, but they believe their evil means will win at the very end, and that they want the means to justify their evil end at any cost, which only means it's going to benefit them. Remember, we're not in the club. It will jeopardize our freedom, our liberty, our free speech, our freedom of assembly, which they're really cracking down on. Your choice about medical treatments and the rights granted under the U.S. Constitution. To them, these are all old-fashioned and antiquated notions. Don't the leftists always say that the Constitution is a living, breathing type of document? No, it's not. It's the U.S. Constitution. In the mind of these maniacal tyrants, they want to get rid of all of it. This turning hinges on the coming conflict in this country between this very sinister minority and the powers behind the throne and those that work in the shadows of the deep state and a thus far silent but heavily armed majority inside the country. I will say this, as I've said before, take the righteous path when you hear the call. The storm is coming, my Viking brothers. And I've been told by various sources that you will hear it soon. And with that, let's get to the phones and Paul the Gladiator in his compound in North Phoenix, front and center. Hey, Paul, how are you doing tonight, man?
What is happening?
I tell you, crazy, crazy news, crazy border, man. What are your thoughts tonight?
Yeah, when I saw the lasso going over the Haitian immigrant.
Yeah.
I thought we should have been doing that over the last, 25 years. I mean, it's amazing.
Amen, brother.
It's amazing that people believe that these people from Haiti somehow walked up to the Mexican border. You have to cross waters of the Gulf to get into Mexico. So who brought all those large boats to get 15, 16, 17,000 Haitians under the Texas bridge? Like, they just didn't appear under the bridges. They had to have been brought there. And, you know, you watch the mainstream media, you would swear that they swam there. Like, come on, everybody. I mean,
right.
You know, can we get to reality check here? This was a highly financed movement of 10, 15, I believe it's more like 20,000 Haitians. That's the whole island of Haiti. I mean, so basically,
yeah,
Haiti's
exactly.
Haiti's going to be the new Galapagos Islands. There'll be nothing but statues left, right? And we're supposed to absorb the island country of Haiti. And then you know what's going to happen? Trinidad, Tobago, we're going to absorb them. Then Jamaica, then the Bahamas. I mean, we're just going to take in everybody off these islands because God forbid that their ancestors chose the wrong place. Well, let's just stick them in America. We'll give them a $4,000 Visa card on our tax dollars. We'll give them all the food stamps they want. We'll give them free medical. They don't even have to work. As a matter of fact, any open house in your neighborhood, we're now going to make that the Section 8 housing, government paid, with no supplemental. So now if you're renting your home, you have to take these people in due to the housing and urban development. So now you're locked in. They're going to destroy your home. That's shot. You're done. Your house is going down in value. You're going to have to sell that house because the government payment won't pay the mortgage. So, I mean, does everybody else see a problem with this economy? going forward with all the inflation coming up, because forget the Haitians, the Mexicans, the Chinese, the El Salvadorians, the Guatemalans. I mean, now we're talking millions and millions in this economic downturn of Section 8, medical, dental, all the food you can eat. You get a $4,000 Visa card, and we're going to shove 30 of their family members in your house, so now your house is destroyed. Forget it. You're done. I wouldn't be renting homes right now. I wouldn't be buying them to rent because you're going to be forced to rent to these people. It's not going to be a question of, no, I'll hold out for the $2,000 a month renter. It's going to be, no, we're forcing you now. So
rent-free, and they will want you to give room and board rent-free, too, because you're supposed to give away everything now if you're inside America. Give away everything that you worked hard for.
Yeah, you know? I mean, they'll Section 8 you, but, you know, if your mortgage is going to be sitting somewhere around, you know, $1,000, $1,100, $1,200, but they're only going to give you $700 or $800, they're going to have to come out of your pocket for not only the rest of the mortgage payment, but also the taxes and the insurance, because that's not included in Section 8 rent. So, yeah, this whole thing, and they'll label it something different. They'll call it an immigrant rent. Looks like, I don't know if everybody else has noticed this, but has anybody else noticed in your taxes that there is the old American Social Security tax, which basically has doubled our taxes in your off of your pay? Now, because if you didn't notice it, go look at it. It's got five letters in capitals, and it's the old American insurance compensation tax. And you look it up, because your normal taxes will show up. Maybe it's $78 for your normal federal taxes, but then you have this older Americans tax now that's added, and it doubles it. Now you got another $78 out. And then you have your FICA and your state. Yeah, take a look. These Democrats are going to take more and more money from you. It's coming out.
That's right.
It's screwing the middle class of America. Now you got all the immigrants. Add the Haitians to all those other countries I mentioned: Guatemalans, El Salvadorians. All the Mexicans. And they're fighting with all of the other people to get to the front of the line. The Mexicans are pissed because all the Haitians got over, and they're underneath the bridge. But who opened up the door to let them underneath the bridge? Why was it only
Haitians?
Right. Where were the Mexicans and the Chinese and the El Salvadorians?
It's an effing disaster. Yeah, it's an effing disaster, man.
Yeah. And God forbid you take them and send them back to Haiti. What are you, nuts? What are you, a Nazi? I mean, they'll start calling Americans Nazis and Bolshevik, and you're Russian, and you're North Korean. In your mindset, if you think that you don't want to let a million people in a month from other countries to, share your country. Share it. Wait a minute. Our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our great-great-great-grandparents, your family has had one soldier die in every war since the Revolutionary War. Okay?
That's right.
Like, wait a minute. How come these people get to enjoy all the freedoms that our families fought for and built in this country, generation after generation, and then they get to come over and just take it away? I don't think so.
I know, it's BS.
Canada's got a lot of land. They have a lot of open space. Why don't they go to Canada?
Right. How about we send the Haitians to China? How about Israel? Israel takes in no immigrants at all, virtually none. China takes in none. Send them to the Bahamas, but not to the American shores. Our culture is so different from theirs in Haiti. They also believe in voodoo, folks. They believe in voodoo, satanic rituals. Do we need more voodoo in America? Seriously? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
That's what they believe. It's the voodoo practice of the Caribbean, and it's very rampant. And that is a religion that we don't really need to spread in America. With all of our problems, all we need now is another satanic religion on the dark side. Wonderful. Congratulations, Biden. Fantastic. We'll have voodoo now spread in schools. It's coming.
So Israel and Russia take no immigrants. So the prime ministers, no matter who they are of Israel, they refuse. They don't even want a Palestinian to cross over the Gaza Strip, because if you cross over the line, they bomb five buildings, okay? That's how anti-immigration Israel is. And then why doesn't Biden say to Putin, listen, I'll drop all the sanctions. You take all the immigrants from Mexico, from Haiti, from El Salvador, from Honduras. And, you know, Putin would be like, go fuck yourself. Go screw yourself.
That's right.
We don't take any immigrants. We are a nationalist country. Thank you. We tried that with Donald Trump, and the Democrats put him on the cross and literally put the nails into his wrist and his ankles. Thank you. Another man crucified on the cross for trying to do good for his people. I mean, seriously?
That's right.
Look, I'm going to tell all the listeners right now, steal the money, take the money, bank the money, put it in a safety deposit box in cash, in gold, in platinum, in silver, spread that out, but put it in the safety deposit box, because they're coming for it. And if you have it in a regular bank account, they're grabbing it. So
that's right.
Go earn it, go steal it, do whatever you got to do to get it. You know, all these, you know, you watch American Greed, everybody out there. You see that you
love
can,
that
you
show.
Know, make money. You know what? I mean, go make money as fast as you can, because everybody out there is going to screw you anyways. You know, I dealt with a snake and a creep.
Yes, you did. Big snake. Big
sweet. I mean, the threats I had to make, now I've got the attorney general coming down. I've got commissions
good
coming down. I mean, this man's going to face the wrath
screw
of God
him
by the time I'm done. But you know what? At this point, let's all just take all the money we can, because they're going to come take it away from us. And I'd rather just put it in a satchel, go up north, and dare them to show up on my land. You know?
That's right. I'll be right there with you. Screw them all.
You know it.
We will take
you
them all on. And if they keep asking for a fight, I keep telling them, you guys are looking in the right place. So congratulations, Sherlock. If you want fights, boy, they're brewing out there like they have no idea. They are brewing. And this is the undercurrent in society. I know a lot of people who are just waiting for the shoe to drop. And, man, they have no clue. They have no clue what they're asking for. But I always say in life, Paul, people like to learn the hard way. You can't tell them.
Right.
Like the old thing, too, you can lead a horse to water. You can't make it drink. We can show them what's going to happen. It goes in one ear and out the other. And people like to learn the hard way. And by God, they'll learn the hard way. And that's okay. Doesn't matter to me. It's not my scalp. It's theirs, you know?
Right. You know, and then you know, you got these videos, like you mentioned last week, and I saw that video where it was a female military girl in her fatigues, like, if I'm ordered to shoot you, I'm going to shoot. You know what? I'm going to tell you, you're going to show up at our land, and me and Von Weehan and our friends, we're going to be standing there, and you're going to think you're going to take us down, and you're going to fire the first shot, and you're going to run, because we will chase you off. And we'll be shooting chasing you off. And we have really good aim. Some of us were actually in the legal forces previously. So you're going to beg for a fight. And I'm going to tell you, you can send all the transgenders up to try to take us down in your military that you're paying for transgender surgeries for. I'm going to tell you, they're going to run too. Okay? So, you know, you keep transgendering up our military. And, you know, I can already tell that when a man shows up, to apply for the military, those generals in the Pentagon now are like, no, 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 we don't want you. And, you know, then you have the, I want to be a transgender, male to female, female to male. And they're like, you're the guys or you're the girls we want because you are going to transgender our military up. This is how our generals are thinking right now. I can't believe it. It's unbelievable. You know,
I would fire all of our generals. Our generals suck. They are all traitors. That's majority. And you're right, Paul. If a straight heterosexual guy walks and goes, hey, I want to join the army, they'll say, screw you. Hit the bricks, pal. Bring in that fag. Bring in that gay transgender. Bring in the freak with the purple hair. I want them in our military. You're right. And look, it's all about softening up America. And by the way, great point, Paul. Look, folks, if you come on our land in the compound and they fire the first shot, well, I am the most ruthless. I will hunt them down in the forest, and I'll make damn sure they never freaking leave. They will be food for feral wild pigs, but I will hunt them down. I will chase them. I can run fast, and by God, we will take them out. So they are barking up the wrong tree. So before, we won't start it, but I'll damn well finish it. Go ahead, man.
You know, they don't – a lot of these Americans, you know, that aren't really patriotic, the Democratic side of politics, they don't even know how ruthless the John Adams, the John Hancocks, the Benjamin Franklins, they don't remember just how fucking ruthless they were. They would slice the throats of a British soldier. They literally would take any person out because they knew that they were murdering men, women, and children, and they had it. They were done with it. And you're gonna ask to have us become those ruthless men who started this country, because to start a nation like America, you didn't pussyfoot around. You didn't beg people to do what you wanted. You forced them at their knees. Get the fuck out of this country. This is our land. This is our country. We own it. And that now, the Democrats are going to ask for that fight again, and they're going to find out just how fucking ruthless the starters of this country were, because all of us patriots, we are like them. We are ruthless mothers. We're not going to fucking take our foot off your neck. We're going to drive the stake through it, and then anybody else around you has to go down. No fucking survivors. You leave no witnesses. So that's the way it works. And now the Democrats, they're going to ask for that fight. You're going to find out how that fight works.
Damn right. They have no clue what they're up against, my brother. Paul, thank you, man, for a great call. Awesome, man.
You got it.
Awesome.
All right, man. Have a good night, everybody.
Me too, man. The Gladiator speaks the truth. Love that. Yeah, these people are itching. They keep talking. They want a war. They want a war. They want, well, okay. I say bring it on, baby. Bring it on. You've got no clue what you're up against. But I always say people have to learn the hard way. And look, they keep itching for it and asking for it. And we have rogue members of our military that are making threats. That they're saying, well, if I get the orders, I'm going to go ahead and do what I got to do for Uncle Sam. Look, it's a dysfunctional uncle. How clear can I make it? The Uncle Sam that I grew up with is not the Uncle Sam of today. Our military today is not my father's military. We have a dysfunctional uncle who is a weirdo, who is a spendthrift, who doesn't want to back the real country, that wants to do everything he can to subvert the nation, the real country, and the real people. And if they want to fight, any foreign nation listening tonight, any intelligence or intelligentsia out there, I say you guys will have no clue what's going to hit you. You come to our shores, and if you start anything, well, this will be your mass grave. mass graves for all of America's enemies. You come here, we're not going to let you out. We're going to take care of you ourselves. And you should write your letter to your next of kin now to let them know that you won't be returning at all. And they should be writing their last will and testament, if you will, because once they come in or once things kick off, that's the end of it, because people have been preparing for years and decades. Folks, the Von Wien Show, my Viking brothers all over the world, we love you. We love all our new callers. We speak truth to power. We want more freedom in our country. We want more liberty, not less. We want the shining city on a hill. I go about it a little bit differently. My callers do, because we're real men and women of the country. We speak truth. We speak pretty plainly, pretty bluntly at times. If this is too much for you, if you find this show offensive, then I'm sorry it hurt your delicate, sensitive ears. And turn the channel and get the hell out of here. We have work to be done, if you know what I mean. Call in 563-999-3437. This is the important work of the nation. This is the important work of the radio airwaves. I can reach far more people on this international broadcast than I can by writing a book or something like that, though I do that too. And by the way, we have lots of people that like the show, and some promos are now in order. So sit tight, folks. There's way more coming down the pike.
This is Rod Serling from the Twilight Zone, a place of sight and sound, now telling you to tune in to the Von Wien Show that's on in the evening, the dark of night. The night gallery is 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. to tune in to hear real talk. Get your dose of the Von Wien Show and the reality of what's going on in our world.
That's right. The Von Wien Show, we take no prisoners. We will drive a stake through the vampire's heart. As I told you, we have a vampire in my monologue sucking the blood of America. These vampires are in all shapes and sizes. They're in our Pentagon, our State Department, and state government houses. We will name them as they come up.
Hey, this is your friend Rocky here. Huh? Hey, I wanted to tell you that I did see the Barbarian the other day, Von Wien. It was kind of cool. We were out, you know, I was jogging out there, doing my thing, you know, jogging right by the club and the gym and everything else. I had my dog with me, you know. I had some of my trainer workers with me, you know. They were training, working out, sparring partners, all that stuff. And I saw Von just downtown, you know. We started to talk just for a few minutes, and then we went on from there, you know. But it was good to see him, man. Good to see him around, because, you know, he kind of stays hidden, you know. So when he's out and about, you know, it's kind of a sight to see. So I just wanted to say, hey, give you a shout-out on your show, man. You're doing a great job. It's great to hear. Even my dog was barking at you the other day because he was all excited, too. So, hey, we're tuning in, all right? Thursdays, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Von Wien Show on the airwaves. Yeah, it's right on the Internet. That's awesome.
Internet radio is very, very powerful. As many of you know, I used to broadcast at KFNX, 1100 a.m. in Phoenix for 4.5 years, roughly. And, you know, a lot of folks say, hey, man, what's going on with the call sign radio? I go, look, you know, the call sign radio stations are fantastic. The problem is they haven't made me a very good deal, or they're charging too much for airtime, and I can reach far more people on this platform that I designed just for you. My great audience and our smart and our gracious listeners from all over the country, we love you all. By the way, nobody gets more airtime than on my show. And I also noticed that other call-ins to other shows sound, you know, pretty rudimentary, pretty rhino, kind of watered down. I have the smartest callers, and I love having the smartest callers. I love that. We're a street smart show and an intellectual show. We also love retro America, like the Rockefeller.
Hey, Jimmy, it's your old buddy Angel calling you on the line there. And I was about to sit down and do like we do every Thursday night, listen to this guy, Von Wien, on the radio. He's a good old-fashioned machismo, hard-styled, mechanic of the airwaves, Jimmy. but what I want to ask you first before I did that is before I get into my popcorn here, I've got a game coming up, poker game. It's going to be absolutely beautiful, beautiful scam. I got that city councilman showing up. We got oil shakes. We got other people, maybe pornographers showing up, too. And I got a beautiful cover I'm going to be using for this one, man. I just need $2,000 to $3,000. To use this game for some, to buy in, and then I'll get it back to you in like a couple weeks to maybe a couple months, Jimmy. You think you could do that for me? I'll be here listening to Von Weehunt show, all right? I'll wait for your call, buddy. I'll wait for your call.
I just love the Rockford Files. These promos were made by Wolf Studios back in the day, but let's get to some of the call lines once again. And we have, I believe, a new caller. Let's get them on the show. Hello, what's your name and where are you calling from? You're live on the Von Weehunt Show. Are you there? Are you there?
Hello?
Going once. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Kat. How are you?
Kat, I thought that was you. Kat from Canada. Yes.
Yeah, Kat from Canada.
Yes, second. I love it. Love it. What are your thoughts? What's going on with you? And thanks for calling the Von Weehunt Show. The floor is yours, my dear.
Well, I actually had a few thoughts about the interesting points that were brought up.
Yes,
I think it was mentioned that we should send the blacks to Canada. That kind of touched a nerve for me a little bit.
I was seeing if you were listening.
Oh yeah,
you are. I love it. Canada, we would never do that to you. Trust me, we would never do that to you.
Oh, I know. Well. You know what? There is a place called Roxham Road, and they come through anyways. So we are getting illegal immigrants, and yeah, it's quite concerning. What I see
it
around
is.
My town, I used to live in a small town, and what's happening now is they're selling all the arable land, all the farmland, and all these condos are popping up, and guess who's moving in? There's all these immigrants that are coming from the bigger cities and they're moving into here. And now I have to pay for gas before I pump it in broad daylight. And there's bars going up on the glass of storefronts and it's just, So I see the dangers there and I have kids. So it's a growing problem, right? We're no longer a small town and the cops and the firefighters are always over there, and it's a danger zone, right?
It is a danger zone, and this is what they want, these elitists and these, you know, look, if you're in a small town or you moved or you're in the hinterlands or what they call flyover country in America, which is about 40 states, right? You got away from the big cities or something, and maybe you're in an exurb or a suburb, but the thing is, you don't want to have all these problems. You moved years ago, you got settled, and the government loves pushing these people in your face. Now, you notice that none of the Haitians, for example, in our country, Kat, are going to Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals, but they say in D.C., we're going to send them to like 40 states all over America to make you deal with them. And the same thing in Canada. They want you to deal with the garbage of the world, the debris, human debris. And I call it, they are the garbage. These are the people that have been expelled from these countries. They're not rocket scientists. They're not even good people. It's the criminal class, the underbelly that even Haiti said, we don't want these people back. I keep telling you, these governments don't care for their garbage. They want to get rid and expel their garbage. Give it to America. Give it to America, right? Or Canada or wherever. All white countries predominantly, let's be honest. At least predominantly white in many, many sectors. But they're trying desperately, I'll be blunt, to make these countries in the third world hellholes all over the place. And they'll do Section 8 in your once nice neighborhood, and the government will use your taxes to fund your own demise. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, that makes me feel betrayed. Sorry, I'm having a mind blank.
It's what they do. In our country, they have confiscatory tax rates that our taxes are going up. They take our money, our taxes, they fund these programs which gut our country. I know Canada is the same thing under communist Trudeau, and they'll call it something different up there. But in America, it's called Section 8. And you know damn well these people cannot afford these houses. And you know damn well half the time they're never working, because if I drive by a certain neighborhood, not mine but around here, they're always outside. No one's ever working. Cars are always in the driveway. And they get government money to eat. And they get, you know, they get government money, more government cheese, you know, and Canada's famous for that too, right? I mean, and they use our money to slit our throat, to stab us in the back economically and politically, which is exactly what they're doing. It's no different than a mugging in the street to me. What are your thoughts?
If I were to say something, then I would be called a racist, right? So that's kind of where we're at now in a communist country, that you talk about not wanting these immigrants here because our government has a big push to bring tens of thousands. But if you say anything, well, you're Islamophobic, right? So
he's right.
That kind of reminds me about the Russian Revolution, right? You say anything, you're anti-Semitic. But it's not
right.
Us, it's not us that hates them, it's them that hates us. So when you follow down that rabbit hole to see who's behind it and you see who's pushing it, I actually follow this channel on Telegram. It's called Whites Against Loxism. So not a lot of people know what Loxism is, but it's basically the Jewish hatred for white people. And instead of a war, their peaceful way of attacking us is through this immigration to outnumber us. And I see that happening in my town too. We're slowly becoming a minority. I think globally we're roughly 7% of the global population now. So who's the minority?
That's right. That's right. And the thing is, as I told people before, you're right on there, Kat. America, and I know Canada, we weren't founded and we didn't fight wars to bring in and usher in the third world. These were homelands that we conquered, that we discovered. Our European roots, sure, there were natives here. That's another rabbit hole the leftists will always bring up. But look, they fought amongst themselves, all the Indian tribes. They had constant Indian wars. They bought and sold each other as slaves. Yes, the Indians had slavery too. Oh, we can't talk about that. God forbid. Can't talk about those Indian wars, tribe pitted against tribe, before the evil white man ever got here. Oh, they don't want to talk about that. And the thing is, our countries, the USA and Canada, the founding fathers never said, we're going to fight a war against the British, we're going to write a constitution, we're going to do all this and get our own sons and daughters killed and murdered just so we can give a free country and freebies to the third world in the future. How preposterous is that? But if you listen to these revisionists, historians, they're trying to rewrite our history, and I'm sure the same as yours in Canada, to say that's what they really meant when they said freedom for all. No, idiot. It meant freedom for all Europeans, white European stock. It was not designed for Jamaica. We did not design this country for Haiti or Mexico or Afghanistan or Africa or anything of the nature. Over time, what's happened is that our country and yours got hijacked. The internal levers, like you said, of the immigration got changed in our country in a big way in 1965 when they really allowed in, the floodgates opened. And so what we're at now, the political situation that we're in, and a lot of you Zoomers and Generation Y guys are too young to even know this stuff. But you got to go back and look at that 1965 Immigration Act. That was really the big, big start of the unraveling of America. Now, look, we are the most generous countries in the world, Canada and the United States. I know the USA, we're very generous. We give, whenever there's a problem in the world, Kat, I'm sure that you would agree. America is there, Canada is there with grain and food and help. We also have ushered in and have brought in people more than any other country into America over eons of time. We have brought in all kinds of people to help build the country. And we had no problem with that. We are the most egalitarian, the most multicultural, even at that, before 1965. And you're right, they use the word racist. Or you're a racist, right? And they'll point their left little finger in your face. Well, you what you want to start say to those people, you call me, they'll say, you're a Nazi. You're a racist. And I say, call me whatever you want. Screw you. You know it's the truth. You look, don't let words hurt you, folks. All they have is words. The other thing they have are their bureaucrats embedded in our government. But these words mean nothing. They call me all kinds of names. I say, yeah, sure, whatever. I take the power away from them. I don't care what they call me because it's the truth, you know? And you got to learn to shrug these people off and tell them to go F off. You know, screw you.
Well, you know what
you guys
want to, I ask them
if you want to live by these people, be my guest. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the man was saying that he was actually comparing Nazism to Bolshevism, which actually is not accurate at all. But if you take the term Nazi, for example, I mean, where did that come from? You ask someone where that word came from. It came from a Jew. And the actual term for Hitler's movement was National Socialism. It wasn't anything of like what we were taught it was, right? So, and that's what his philosophy was, his nation first, his folk first, his people first, his, you know, and that we have lost that through this immigration that's being pushed on us. We're losing that.
Well, we have. And the thing is, the Bolshevism, people need to learn their history. It was a, all the Bolsheviks in Russia, 99.9% of them were Jewish. Now, the reason why I don't hover around anyone, because I don't want to give them any more airtime than they deserve. But my thing is, yeah, you're right. I mean, the Jews designed Bolshevism. They were behind the Russian Revolution. And like I told people before, they invented communism. It's just a historical fact. It's got nothing to do with their race or this or that or their lineage. This is who they are. This is what they did. I deal with facts in my show. And it's a little, you know, there's a lot of things called inconvenient truths, right? We live in this multicultural world, and how dare you say that? We're not supposed to talk about that. Well, I'll tell you something else that most people do not know. All this talk of Hitler and the Jews, right? It's the elephant in the room in every political conversation. What a lot of people don't know, two things, is that the Jewish International Jewish Federation declared war on Germany first in 1933. They declared war. Most people don't know that. They had economic boycotts of Germany. They boycotted German goods. It was a big international cabal that was trying. The minute Hitler took power, they did not give him even a month. They declared war on Germany immediately. Now you say, who are they? That wasn't a country. It doesn't matter. They're all over the world, the international Jewish bankers, and they are very powerful. They have deep pockets. They declared war. It made the headlines. In Great Britain and parts of America and other countries, it made headlines all over the world. You can Google it. International Jewish Federation declares war. Not just they were mad, they declared war. And they wage an economic war, which is what they're famous for, against Germany. Other thing they don't tell you in the history books is that Hitler had many Jewish officers in the Third Reich. and there were a few Jewish generals. People say, whoa, that's a button. No, I'm telling you, it's ideal facts. Hitler used everybody to his disposal. If they were for the Reich, if they were for the greater Germanic peoples, and many of the Jews in Germany, of course, were of German descent. If they were smart and shrewd and could do the job, guess what? Hitler used them. He used them. He didn't kill all the Jews. And all that talk is another rabbit hole for a different show. But he wanted what's called Fortress Europe. He wanted a greater Europa. And he was always focused, as they always tell you, on the East. On the East. Why on the East? Because the East, he felt, was the biggest threat to Germany, i.e. Bolshevism, and Stalin was a Jew. All his cohorts were Jewish. The NKVD, the murderous secret police, were all Jewish, you know. But Hitler had the most multicultural force in the world. He had Arabs in the Third Reich. He recruited from Iran. He recruited from the Bosnia. He had Muslims. People say, well, that doesn't compute with your average person today who thinks it was only white Aryan men in the Third Reich. No, Hitler used anyone at his disposal during the war. So a lot of people don't know these little facts of history, but when you tell them, they freak out and they go, that doesn't compute. I've never been told that before. What are your thoughts, Kat?
No, because, he's been demonized, right? So what they did was everything that they did, they blamed that on him. And of course, you're right. They are very powerful. They own everything. They own the banks. They own the schools. They write our curriculum. So they have demonized him, and they've indoctrinated us to believe that. And for a long time, I did too, until I saw Europa. And then I thought, well, there's another side to this story. It needs to be looked into. And it's all factual. They have all the proof and the footage, right? So it's there. It's available. It's just not very many people know about it. I hope it's a growing trend that more and more people are actually watching Europa and opening their eyes to the fact that they have been lied to, and this is the truth.
Right. And Europa is a great documentary. I encourage everyone to see it. It's the real history behind World War II. And all these wars are economic wars. The World War II was just a continuation of World War I. They had about a 20-year armistice there with the Versailles Treaty. But the war never really ended. And a lot of our root problems go back to the 1940s and that era. And, there's a lot of reasons why World War II was fought. Churchill famously said that it was an economic war, and they had to destroy Germany. Why? It wasn't because there was a Hitler or they were for the Aryan master race. It was because of economics. Hitler was kicking England's ass, if you will, in business. The Germans can outthink, outmaneuver, outmake, out-engineer the British 10-1, and always have.
They tried
to destroy Germany. Right. They are very, I am majority German, and I would attest to that. We're very inventive and nimble when we need to be, and very powerful when we need to be. And the thing is, that flew in the face of Churchill wanted England to be the number one power. And he saw this rising guy over in Germany, the new Kaiser, if you will. My God, the first thing Hitler did was he got rid of the international bankers, and he let the Reich print their own money, and they boomed. While the rest of the world was mired in a depression, barely eating soup and water, the Germans had the highest standard of living in the world during the Depression. That's a fact. Germans were eating bratwurst and meat, steak, chicken, fish. They had parties all over the place. It was a renaissance, if you will. And Churchill wanted to destroy it. I mean, England was marred in a severe, deep depression. And he thought, we have to get into a war And he said it repeatedly, even in his memoirs, folks. He said, yeah, we have to get into a war with Germany so England can again rise. And that's what happened.
Yeah, and most people don't know that Hitler wrote many, many appeals to stop the war. He did not want it. Right? And,
that's right.
But they say now that, well, it was his fault. He incited war. Well, no, he didn't. It was Churchill that kept on pushing for war, and Hitler appealed to him many times to put a stop to it.
That's right. Hitler felt that the English people were Aryan like the Germans. They had a kinship of history. And he wanted, he really did not want to bomb them into oblivion. He wanted to, he was always trying to make peace. It's a fact that most people don't know that Hitler sent over 16 now, peace proposals to England during the war. And basically, they rejected all of them. And these were generous peace proposals, a stalemate, if you will, an armistice. In other words, let's stop the fighting. Let's join hands and stop the bloodshed of our brothers. And Churchill would not hear of it, would not hear of it. He wanted that war, had to have it. He had to have it. And that's, and then, of course, the victors of the war write the history, right? So the minute the war was over, the propaganda machines get rolling. We've got to make this guy into a madman. I'm not saying Hitler was a saint. He wasn't. But neither was Churchill, and neither was FDR, and neither was Stalin. War is war. No one's a saint, and no one is immune. Everyone's got blood on their hands, right? Okay, you can agree with that. If you want to know who the real butcher was, it was Stalin, the Bolshevik, who over time killed millions of his own people. Had gulags, and when the war was over, that's when they called the Iron Curtain descended over Europe. Churchill famously said about a year after the war, I fear that we butchered the wrong pig. We should have went after Stalin. More or less, he was reiterating what Patton had said, and even Hitler, that Stalin and Bolshevism was the true enemy of Europe, and it took Churchill a while to figure it out that he was duped, and he admitted in his memoirs he was fooled. He was duped. He has a big book that he wrote, his autobiography, and I've read parts of it, but he admits more or less that he was fooled, and the Allies were not fooled. There was a real war, but yet the real enemy all along wasn't really Germany, it was Bolshevism. I mean, if you want to, again, they both are regimes that did what they had to do. But don't think that the Allies went over there and we were lily white. We also had war atrocities. It's called Dresden. You can look that up. We did a lot of bad things over there too. And the policy was to kill innocent Germans. Not just the military. There were a lot of those cities that were bombed that were civilian centers and had no military value whatsoever. This is not to bash the Allies or America or Canada, but it is to state facts. And war, that's why they say war is hell, because it's hell for everybody. But what are your final thoughts, Kat, tonight, as we look at the world?
Well, when I look at the world, I see that same evil. And I've watched Hellstorm too, that deals with what the Allies did to Germany after the war. So it was hell. That was a very difficult thing to watch.
They starved millions of people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that same evil, though, is at work today. It's just so subtle that not a lot of people are aware of it, right? And people need to open their eyes and see that same evil is still behind the scenes. Through this immigration and through the transgender agenda that you were talking about earlier, those are the ways that they are basically at war with us.
That's right. Transhumanism, AI, transgenderism. Remember the militant left, they are militant people. They want to make the extreme mainstream. In other words, what's up is down, down is up. They want to turn our world upside down. And they are very, while we're working, paying taxes, doing our thing, they're fervently working against us to subvert us and our nation. But, Kat, thank you so much for the call from Canada. Love it.
Well, thank you.
Call every week.
I love your show.
Thank you so much,
Kat. I
think
I will.
Love you.
Yeah. Have
awesome.
A good night.
Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you. And stay tuned. Love it. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Kat there, we appreciate her. We will defeat the communists at every turn.
And under the direction of Von Weehunt, we will commence bombing tonight on the North Vietnamese communist forces. Our B-52s are airborne, arriving at their destination targets. Communism be damned, we must prevail. And God bless America.
Damn right. Let me get a cocktail for my German beer garden in the bar. We're going to get to the gunslinger next in Texas and more calls coming right after this. Yes, that was the medieval war march of ancient Germany. And with that, let's get to the gunslinger in the great Republic of Texas, where the Del Rio border is under assault and invasion. Gunslinger, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good, except for the invasion. invasion it is.
No doubt, man. Yeah. It is.
It is. Yes, it is. I don't live on the border.
What's going on? What's happening, man? Talk to us.
Well, like I said, you know, at least Governor Abbott is ordering the state troopers and the state guard down there. I'm sure you've seen the pictures of it online. That there's over 100 state trooper cars. The state guard is there now. It's the safest place in the whole freaking state of Texas. Okay. Okay. Probably in some major cities too. I would imagine with all those, you know, law enforcement and everything there. Yeah. You know, you're right. I mean, this is Haiti. Okay. I mean, this thing, you look on a map and you'll see it's what, 2000 miles from this continent. Okay. Now, how did people get over here? I was saying, did they swim? I mean, that Atlantic Ocean out there, they got some sharks out there. They got some hungry critters out there. You think
they'd
make it? I could probably see some Cubans floating in a half-assed raft or whatever from Cuba to Florida, like only 90 miles off the coast there. But 2,000 miles? No way. There's something rotten in Denmark.
What gets me? Right. You're saying rotten in Denmark. You're right, Gunslinger. What it is, too, is they're broken, impoverished in Haiti. These people can't afford frickin' cab fare or their next meal. I mean, let's get down and dirty here, okay? Now, my show are famous for doing that. All these stupid newscasters, these guys that call themselves, I'm a journalist. Well, you're not a journalist. You're a moron. No journalist has even brought up the most obvious fact of Journalism 101 investigation. How did people 2,000 miles away get to the southern Texas border? They're broke. Airfare, boat, transfers, folks, buses, food, water, directions. They're funded by these international nefarious, sinister groups to change the demographics of our nation. Again, in Haiti, these people can't even afford food. You know? Mm-hmm. It's crazy, man. And we know that there's a lot of groups behind this, a lot, and a lot of money. That costs millions of dollars, Gunslinger. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Millions and tens of millions. Because, like I said, there's only one way, only just a couple, three ways to get over here by plane, boat, or like I said, swim, okay? So the plane and the boat, somebody's got to be paying for that because them things don't run for nothing. They don't run on water, as the old saying goes. I wish they did. But in that case, they don't. You know, so why, you know, it's just like, you know, blowjob Clinton. Remember what he said, that he was addressing some whatever, saying that, well, I can't wait to see a whole sea of brown out there. What do you think he was referring to, idiots like these? They're not here. They're not, like you said, they're not rocket scientists. They're not scholars. They're not tradespeople. By God, I was a tradesperson. I'm a retired bachelor electrician engineer. So I spent 20 years in the field. So these are not, you know, technically oriented people. I mean, these people couldn't even clean out sewer, for that matter, you know, because look at where they came from. It's a third world, you know what, hole. Okay. I don't even see they've even survived this long without actually either starving to death or eating each other. Okay. Because I've seen pictures of Haiti. You've seen it, you know, I've never been there, but I've seen pictures and video of it. It's worse than a third world, you know what, hole. Okay. So what do they expect us to get here? See, this is the reason that we probably need to change the inscription on the Statue of Liberty. Give us your sick, give us your poor, give us your black. No, we don't want them. Okay.
We don't want them. We don't want the world's poor. We don't want them. We don't want the world's broke, homeless, poor, criminal class, the underbelly, their garbage. No, we don't need it. We don't want it. America has no shortage of poor people. We right now have homeless people on every corner in this damn country. We don't have a shortage of homeless people with frickin' cardboard signs. Got enough of that. You know? Go on, man. You're right.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, thanks, French. Then we get that Statue of Liberty from the French. Okay, if the stories that I've read, that the American people at the time when they put that thing up, they didn't even want it here. Okay,
that's a story
I read that's why it's sitting out there on a freaking island surrounded by water. It's not even connected to the shores of the United States. That ought to tell you something right there.
That's right.
Okay.
We did not want it when it came.
That's right. They did not want that thing on the shore or the land of America. Okay. Because like you said, why do we want these rejects and these criminals, these dope heads? And that's all they're going to be if they're allowed in here, which they're trying to now, you know. You know, who do you think they're going to go to? They're going to go to these big cities which have criminality, gangs, prostitution, dope, drug, I mean, the whole nine yards. MS-13, there's some friendly fellows right there. Okay. Oh, and they're going to grow their ranks with these dumb idiots because I'm sorry to say these people got about as much of an IQ as a box of rocks. And that's insulting to a box of rocks. Okay, really. Because if they would be improving their country over there. And I hate to say it, it's about to like to say with the Mexicans too. Down there in Mexico. I mean, why are they coming over here? Why don't you stand up to your dictatorship government and improve your own country instead of coming over here and sucking off the titty of the United States government, us, the taxpayers? Okay. That doesn't make any sense. Okay.
You know, well, I will. Yeah, you're right. In Gunslinger, I will tell you what they do over in, here's a little secret that most people don't know. Let me back up a minute. The blacks in Haiti, I'm sure there's many wonderful people there in Haiti. I'm sure there is. But my thing is, our country is not designed to incorporate all the third world. A little secret that most people don't know is other blacks in the Caribbean have said, I've seen them on the news, they're on YouTube, they're in blogs. They will tell you that the Haitians are the worst blacks in the world, in their opinion, not mine. These are other blacks talking. Other blacks don't want to hang out with the Haitians. They see them as too violent. They see them as, oh, you can't talk about that in the mass media. Ooh, racist. No, these are other blacks saying this. And I just go to the source. They don't want them. Blacks in America don't even want the Haitians over here. It's a myth that all the blacks in America are going to welcome them too with open arms. The Haitians are a very distinct kind of a black creed over there. They are very prone to violence. They've had many uprisings in their country's history over time. They get very violent, very crazy. We've seen it just this week. When we put them on the buses in Del Rio, they attacked the federal contractor, the bus driver. Then we put them on the plane. They attacked the stewardesses, and they were threatening violence against the plane and the pilot. If you noticed, when they got to Port-au-Prince, Haiti, which I saw the video, the second the last black Haitian got off the plane, they slammed that frickin' door, and they locked it. They were afraid they were going to come back in. And many of them were going back up the stairs to try and get back in the plane and take it over or hijack it or something. You know, they can hijack it. But my point is they wanted entry back in. And this idea that the Haitians always say, well, I don't know my country. That's really the most imbecile thing I've ever heard. That is your country. And they tell the media, I don't know my country. I don't know what to do here. I'm going, look, you're Haitian. This is Haiti. By the stroke of God, this is where he puts you. So this is your country. Make the best of it. And that's where we're getting somewhere. They don't want to make the best of it. All they want to do is come to America and suck up our benefits. When I told you guys before, we have a drought out west. In Gunslinger, you're in Texas. There's a drought in many of these western states. The average person coming over here will suck up 10 to 15 gallons of pure water a day, minimum. No wonder our reservoirs are going dry. We have unlimited resources in America. We do not have unlimited fresh water, unlimited grain, unlimited food. We have enough for us and barely us, and some of the immigration that we've allowed in. We cannot let in millions of people. Our country is going to be a dusty wasteland because every one of these people, you think they're going to go thirsty? No. They drink water. They're going to cook in it. They're going to bathe in it. And out west, man, water is a premium, and we don't need more and more people sucking up our natural resources. And it's becoming a real big problem. You can't tell me that the reason why California is in constant severe, keyword, drought, is because they have 20 million people, mainly from Mexico and Central America and China and other countries, that have been sucking up the water and the resources there for the last several decades, and they can never catch up to it. And there's a reason why, because they used to replenish have a big snowfall, replenish things. You can't replenish anything in California. Reservoirs are constantly near dry conditions. And we cannot take in all these people. One, for our taxes are going to go through the roof. Our natural resources are going to be depleted. And Gunslinger, what are your final words to the audience?
Well, you know, the water, I mean, you could talk about the water situation for hours and hours and hours, especially out there at Hoover Dam. And I think Arizona gets a lot of it from the Hoover Dam. And what is that, Lake Powell or Mead or something like that out there? But anyway, it's dropping so far now. They said within a year or a year and a half, the generators are going to start to shut down because there's not enough pressure of water to keeping them turbines running on that hydro plant. Okay, and that feeds like 1.5 million people or something like that with power. What are they going to do then? What are you going to do when the lights go out? Okay. And the final thought here is remember that the founding fathers of this country, when they set up this country, they said for our posterity. I mean, really, you can translate that in for their type, not for every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the whole freaking face of the planet. I mean, it's unfortunate.
That's right.
Those people, they've basically created their own hell on earth, I guess, if you want to put it that way, because instead of standing up to their government and trying to make it a better place like America, I mean, what do you think the founding fathers did? Why do you think we fought the British, you know, and all this stuff to make this country a better for all Americans, you know, under the founding fathers and the Constitution, okay? But when you start inviting all these people over here, you know, it's trying to put 10 pounds of you-know-what in the 5-gallon bucket. It ain't going to fit. You're going to have an overload.
It's going to implode. We're going to have a civil unrest. God forbid we have civil war. But these Haitians, too, don't forget. I'll tell you another little dirty secret that, again, the media won't tell you. The Haitians have 8, 10, 12 kids per woman. Okay,
yeah.
The average whites don't, 1 or 2 kids max, right? Okay, with 8, 10, 12 kids, they pump out babies like candy. Okay. Let's just be frank. Okay, they're going to be pumping out these kids, and we'll have a little Haiti in Dallas, a little Haiti in Houston in the next few years, a little Haiti in Austin. We're going to have a little Haiti in Chicago and New York and L.A. Do we want to make America into Haiti, a third world country? Hell no. Other thing I find funny is that the name of their country is Haiti. And the Haitians have said, we hate you, America. And they're going to be told, they're going to be taught hate as Haitians. And they're going to be told, you got too much. It's not fair. It's not just. And we need what you got. And we got to take it. And they're going to take it because they get violent over there. I can't tell you how many times there's been they just assassinated their president.
Yeah.
It's a very violent country and violent people. We don't need that in our shores. Gunslinger, thank you so much, man. Appreciate the call.
All right, appreciate it. Have a nice night. Later.
Great night. Great call by the Gunslinger. He's right. This nation was founded for our posterity. European posterity. We have invited other groups in over time. And by the way, the whole slavery thing, that comes up in every conversation when I read these things on the line. Every country was involved in slavery. We'll put that one to rest. And right now, slavery is alive and well in Africa and the Middle East. And other parts of the world in Asia, it's still going on today. And our country was right in line with every other nation at the time. There's no original sin of America. There's none of this crap, this leftist psychobabble they always bring up. Every country was involved in the slave trade back in that era. And many countries, we in Great Britain stopped, and other countries continued, and other countries have stopped. But to say that because we had slavery, you know, look, they were brought over, and that's it's just history. But it doesn't mean we have to keep bringing them over. So we want to stop the madness, stop the chain. We don't need more of the third world of any creed or color coming over here. We don't need more people, more beggars in our streets. We don't need more broke people. These are the, remember, this is the garbage, I'll be blunt, of those countries. It's not their best and brightest. It is not their nicest people. It is not their law-abiding people. These are the people that the governments want to get rid of. It's their problem. It's their underclass, their underbelly, their garbage, their rubbish, their criminal class. It's the people that are the most violent in their society. They want to get rid of them. Give them to America. Give them to the Babylonian whore. And with that, let's get to another call here. Hi, you're live on the Von Wiegand Show. What's your name and where are you from? You're on the air.
This is MFP from Louisiana.
I thought that was you, man. How are you doing, Ian? You know what? I should call you EMP. That would be even more catchy for the EMP attack.
Nice. But on the case for Germany, think about this. Germany did not want America in the war. But they were in a pact with Japan, and Japan goes off and bombs Pearl Harbor. And, well, what do you – the pact said one declares war, the other declares war, so Germany had to declare war, right?
Right. They had to. Right.
You know?
That's right.
Now,
that's a fact. Germany never wanted war with America. In fact, Hitler admired America. He admired it. Now, they, after the war, they had all this stuff that Hitler was going to conquer the world. There's no way. When you hear that, folks, that is propaganda. There is no way in 1939 to 1945 that any army in Europe could have conquered the world. That is Allied propaganda, to be honest with you. And don't believe a word of it. Nobody even today can conquer the world. China can't conquer the world. Russia conquer the world, but he was a madman, Von Wiegand. You don't understand. He had rockets. So he still cannot conquer. The world's a big place. Big.
Right.
And I agree. It's just fun. It's funny.
Right. Well, think about this. Now, the Pearl Harbor deal with Japan, Japan was never going to attack the American mainland. I don't think, you know, they weren't. You know, that was just a strategic hit on basically the American war machine, right?
Right. Right.
So that's what that was. Now, as far as the German, think about, here's something else to think about German. A lot of the Germans' best and brightest came where? Came here. Because, you know,
that's
Einstein
right.
came here. And I'll, if it wasn't
yes,
for
rocket scientists, America wanted the rocket scientists and the brain surgeons and the best of Germany. Yeah, and we got them. FNA, Operation Paperclip, man. Yeah, that's how we roll. We do want the rocket scientists. We don't want the Haitians. Go ahead, man.
Well, Operation Paperclip maybe gave us that, but it also gave us a lot of – it also led to the whole thing with our guy, an American committee guy with the communists and the government, you know, that guy, you know, but that's another
McCarthy
argument for another show. Yeah. And so anyway, but think about this. if it wasn't for Germany, we wouldn't have jet airliners.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, who used the first jet airplanes in the war?
The Nazis.
That's right. That's right. And because a lot of the rocket scientists, and hell, you may argue about going to the moon and all that stuff, but if it wasn't for the German rocket scientists coming over, we wouldn't have had a space program.
That's right. That's right. We had a space program because of the Germans, exactly, and all their – the Germans pioneered rocketry. Hate to burst your bubble, folks. America didn't. We weren't into rocketry. The German scientists were. Wernher von Braun, a genius. They pioneered it. They figured it out. They were the ones that were the tech that were in high demand in 1945. EMP, if I can call you that. Thanks for the call, buddy. Love you, man. Have a great night. He's right. Yeah, this country, we basically, we do want the rocket scientists. We don't need every third worlder to come over here. And when you see our government do these things, it's an agenda against you. They're plotting against you. It is a white genocide. It is a white replacement. I'll be very blunt. They'll never come out and say it, but we know what it is. And when they use, you know, flowerful language for it, they'll say, oh, but all of the media does, they, all these poor people at the border, they have no food and water. Don't you care for them? Is it your heart is troubled? Oh, that's terrible. It's literally... I want to give them a box of Kleenex and go, get a freaking spine. The real question you should be asked is, how do they get here 2,000 miles away from Haiti? But they never want to ask that question because our Democrat media knows the answer. They know it's about replacing you and getting more Democrats in office. The Haitians are not going to vote Republican. All you idiot Republicrats go, well, we can transfer them and convert them over to MAGA. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, that's so 2015, 2016. If I do that again, I'm going to slap somebody. The Haitians are not going to vote for Trump. They're going to go on the dole. They're going to what they do in Haiti. I just look at a group of people, and this very objectively go, look, what have they done to date in their country? Not much, nothing. All they do is they wait around for the next UN food shipment. Well, they'll do the same thing in America. Where's my check? Where's my food? Where's my water? And you're going to feel, well, we have to take care of these people. You don't understand. That makes America great. It makes us benevolent. We're a kind-hearted people. Yes, we are. And we give more, I would argue, to any other country in the world. We give more than all the other countries combined. Where is the limit to our giving? We're giving to the point of being moronic. And nothing in our Constitution ever said that we have to invite over all the third world into America. We're now in overtime. We know a lot of folks will get this in the podcast, in the nation, and around the world. Let's go to another call. But before we do, we've got to give this guy, Brett the Surfer, a little cue so he'll be ready when we come on the air. Brett, you're next.
Thank you.
Brian, let's get the breath. The surfer. Surfer off the coast of Haiti. How are the waves on the coast of Haiti, man?
Oh, they're awesome, man. There's clear blue water as far as the eye can see, man. But
aquamarine water. I'll give you a little Susie Q to have a little change up here. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's definitely a beach. I really like that version, too. I think Creedence Clearwater used to do a version, and that's a great version. But, man, that's a good version you got there. That's the surfing version.
That was by a cover band from L.A. who sent me that. Pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, thank him for that. But, yeah, it's really crazy what's going on down there in Haiti and the fact that there's really nothing being done at all, you know. It's very sad that Kamala, she's the one who should be doing something about this, and she just basically laughs and thinks it's kind of silly, I guess.
Right, she did. It's a big joke to these people.
Yeah.
They don't take the borders seriously. They think it's a joke. They pay lip service. Oh, well, I got to act serious while the cameras are on me. Yeah, it's a travesty. And then when the cameras are off, they're high-fiving each other as Democrats. They love it. One, it freaks out
the
population. They know damn well that these people are going to have 10 to 12 kids to year two, Brett. And over time, it takes them now to overtake a city, overtake a neighborhood, a decade. No, they doesn't take 30 or 40 years, not at 10, 12 kids a pop. Come on. Their women are always pregnant, and a lot of them have made the journey to deliver their kid and drop it on American soil. And we have to change that law, too. Massive millions of deportations are in order in my world. I would not have a baby in your immigration policy. Absolutely not.
I hear they're getting bused to Houston, though, right now, and they're not flown back to Haiti, you know, and I don't know. You know, you don't know how many, I mean, there could be, you know, hey, I understand there was a massive earthquake there and their government's totally corrupt, but.
Not my problem.
I don't know. I wonder, how did they get here? You know, were they intentionally brought over here?
Of course they were. Brett, think about it.
Yeah.
These are broke people, impoverished. They barely have enough money for their next meal. They were paid and given transport by these international groups that want to invade the white countries. Let's just be honest, or at least predominantly white. America, Canada, Europe. It's an agenda. It's a clear agenda. They don't send them to China or Japan or Israel or, I don't see them trying to bring them into the Bahamas, which is a lot closer, an African-American country, right?
Yeah, and it'd be
if we're looking for proximity, the Bahamas is right there and the Caribbean, all those islands are full of African-Americans. I know. I've been there on cruise ships before. They're about 70, at least two-thirds. African-American. They're beautiful islands, but why didn't they go there? No, it has to be the Texas border. Think about that. This is an agenda. And you know what? You can't be naive, folks. It's coming at you. We're going to have a little Haiti in Houston, like I said, a little Haiti in Dallas, a little Haiti in St. Louis. Probably already one there. We'll have a little Haiti in Tulsa, a little Haiti in Bozeman, Montana pretty soon. Wherever you're at. And these people bleed like flies. I'll be blunt. They have lots of kids. Lots of kids. And they want to overtake you, man.
It's gonna be
sheer demographics.
I really want to see how that plays out. In the meantime, we're going to hear tomorrow about the audit. That's going to be very interesting to hear how that turns out. So kind of looking forward to that. That'll be interesting, and I'm going to find it very interesting how it plays out. If it's going to continue to grow, if it's really a scary thing, you know, get the military down there. I mean, I don't know, where is it going to be in a month from now if they don't, or are they just going to just assimilate them into the United States? I think that's that's what's probably just going to happen. You know?
They're not going to assimilate them, Brett. They're going to dump them in your city, dump them backyard.
Dump them.
They'll be dumped.
Crazy.
And then you'll be worried about them breaking into your house at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm serious.
Yeah,
they're
going to
dump them.
What
do you expect these people? Let's be honest here. Let's talk turkey. What do you get rid of all the flowery language, folks? What do you expect these people to do when they're dumped, literally with no money? Our government goes, "Hey, you're in Houston now. Get out of the bus." Okay, great. Then the bus drives off. They're in downtown Houston. They're in downtown Miami, downtown wherever, Vegas. What do you expect them to do? They got to eat.
Yeah.
They got to drink. They're broke. They got no money. They're 5,000 miles away from home, and they're violent. How wonderful. And then they wonder why America's going to be civil unrest. Well, because we see what you're doing. You morons in D.C., we see what you're doing. We know what you're doing. And we know eventually this is going to blow up. And when it does, don't come crying to me. It's crazy.
Yeah, when that
insanity
happens, that's when you're going to have to defend yourself. And
that's
like
right.
Talk about you don't want a civil war, but
they want it. I don't want it, but
point.
I know they want it. We don't want war.
Yeah,
they want war foisted upon us. Foisted. They're going to shove your nose and stick it in that crap, those hell holes, those third world countries. And they want you to live like them. That's the plan. You've got to assimilate.
Oh, of course.
We've got to get along with them. Right? That's what they say. Crazy.
Like,
not going to happen.
Agenda 21. There are all these apartments going up, you know, everybody's going to become a renter, you know, pretty soon few people will be able to, it won't be the American dream anymore where people go out and buy a house,
right.
You know, they won't be able to afford California. I mean, New York, I mean, you can't, normal person can't afford to buy a house there, you know?
They want the American dream to turn into the American nightmare, Brett. It's going to be the American nightmare, man. Hate to say it,
mm-hmm.
but we're getting there.
It's very sad, we have to be vigilant and just hope that we get someone that is going to, you know, we're going to start going in the right direction. I do have hope. I haven't totally given up, you know.
We hope for the best of my show.
We gotta have
hope. Right. Brett, thank you, man. Appreciate the call, buddy. Have a great,
right,
great,
bro.
Great
keep
night there, man.
Surfing, man. All right, bro.
Keep on surfing those waves off Haiti and keep them out of our backyard, buddy. Love you, man. Have a good night.
All right, brother. You too, man.
Brett the Surfer, folks. Well, I would say this, Brett, you're right. We hope for the best. We plan for the worst. And the German in me always plans for the worst in my bunker because we know that they are wanting to fight. And, you know, they're wanting these things to happen. And, look, like they said during the Colonial War, don't fire, boys, until you see the whites of their eyes. Personally, I like combat, personal combat, up close and personal. That's just my style. But when they come at you, be ready because they're coming at you and they want to dump these people and the government doesn't care. Again, they're not bringing any of these Haitians and any of these other groups to D.C., God forbid, but they want you to deal with it. You have to deal with it, not them. They'll be in there behind their walls. They don't want a wall for you, but they have walls behind their millionaire homes. They have security, guns, and troops. The whole Pentagon's at their beck and call. They want you in the middle part of the country, you heathens, you deplorables, the dregs of society, the foul spirits is the latest one, foul spirits. They want all of us in flyover country, 100 million Americans to deal with this stuff. 350 million Americans, they want to deal with it, definitely, while they're exempt. They're also exempt from all the COVID vaccinations, if you don't know that, America. That's right. If you work in the government, if you're a high-level congressman or a senator, you're exempt than the COVID vaccination. Next time somebody says, hey, have you got the shot? I'll say, hey, has my congressman got the shot? Throw it back at them. Has my senator got the shot? And that's, again, challenge these people. Challenge, challenge, challenge. Because they're challenging you, and they're challenging me, and I'll get right in their face, put my finger in their face. Because someday, this is all going to hit ahead, and I wish I had better news for you. But when I said in the monologue that America's turned dark, I mean it. It's turned dark. They've turned the lights out on our posterity, on our shining city on the hill that we want for us. And then we want for groups that have been over here for millennia. But again, this isn't their country. And the problem in the lexicon is that somewhere along the path of America, somewhere along the yellow brick road, they got this stupid idea. And it wasn't just the Statue of Liberty, but that's, we don't need the world's beggars and homeless. Thank you. I would blow that thing up if I was a dictator, and it would be a big party. We would blow it up, and I'd make it into a coral reef because we care about the fish. And I would say the fish need to eat too, and they need a home. And we're going to make them a home. We're going to blow up the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor and get rid of that thing once and for all. Because all the liberals always point to the Statue of Liberty. It says this. And by the way, that wasn't the initial plaque, but they claim it. Again, they don't want you to know your own history, folks. They don't want you to learn these little things that they throw back at you. On my show, you'll learn a few things. I'll learn from you, too. It's a two-way street. I always learn new things. I don't know it all. I don't claim to know it all, but I do love to learn new things. So with that having said, look, we are being invaded, and there's no other way to candy coat it. The media will tell you that, oh, these tired, poor, hungry masses, don't buy it. Yeah, they're tired, poor, and hungry, but it's not our problem. I'm sorry. A lot of the world goes hungry every night. I'm sorry about that. Hate to burst your bubble out of there, Virginia, but it's not my problem. They go thirsty. Yes. There's murder every day. Yes. And by the way, the stats came out in America since 1950. We have the highest murder rates now in America. Just so you want to know out there, we have the highest murder rates ever right now in America. And if you think bringing over thousands of violent Haitians is going to make our murder rate go down, you've got another thing coming, as they say. Unbelievable carnage out there. You got another thing coming, America. No, it's true.
Brother, how you doing?
I'm doing good. We got a big show tonight, man, as usual. Lots going on, man. What are your thoughts? Crazy out there.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I was trying to listen to the show, man, and like I got in like 20 minutes late because I thought you were running late and having some technical difficulties or something, because for whatever reason on Blog Talk, I saw your show, but normally there's like a little red banner that says it's live, and it didn't say that. So I just thought you were having running a little late tonight, and then I was.
Oh no,
that,
I'm always on time.
No, it's on now.
Oh, well, thank you, man. Catch the podcast. Go back into Blog Talk, you folks who missed the show, or the monologue was really good, I thought, and go back in. You can hear it at your leisure. If you go into archive shows, it'll give you a link, and you can find all of the past shows of the Von Wien Show. So, yeah, man, that's no problem at all.
No, I plan on doing that tomorrow, but I messaged my cat, and she's like, yeah, I have a list to him now. And I'm like, oh, I can't get in. From where I'm coming from, it says he's not live right now, so I just thought you're having difficulties. But it was a Blog Talk issue. It's all good.
Yeah, I'm glad you got in.
But hey, man,
what are your thoughts, man?
You
what's going
are,
on?
Like, really were, well, I'm really glad that you guys were talking about the Statue of Liberty, man. That's a topic I'm pretty well versed on, and I really enjoyed the conversation. Man, this may have been one of my favorite episodes that you've ever had, honestly. And I missed
awesome.
The first 20 minutes. I can't wait to go back and watch that.
Well,
man,
I'm
as far as the
spot
Statue
on
Liberty,
with it. I don't like that damn thing. It's a disgusting statue for our country. We do not need it going forward. It only brings more harm and more violence to our nation, in my view.
Well,
nothing good comes
well,
of
yo,
it.
Well, I agree with you. Oh, I agree with you. As far as the Statue of Liberty goes, that little plaque on it that says, bring this, you're tired, you're hungry, you're poor, you're huddled masses, that wasn't put there until 1903. And that was put there by a woman named Emma Lazarus. Emma Lazarus was an absolute communist Jewish feminist. Her dad was Moses Lazarus, who was an absolute communist Jewish merchant and owned a sugar refining company. That's who put the plaque there. That plaque
That's
didn't
right.
exist until 1903.
That's right. That's right. That's a fact, folks. Lincoln's telling you the truth. You can look it up. It was put in after by that lady, and they were communists, and she was Jewish also. It's just a fact. I call a spade a spade on my show, and it wasn't an Episcopalian who put that plaque up, or a Catholic, or a Protestant. You know, whether or not that has anything to do with anything, it does, in my view, because it's what they do. They want to bring in poor, huddled masses into this country to subvert it from within. That's always been the agenda of a lot of groups.
And you also got into the Hart Celler Act. You and Kat were talking about the Immigration Act of 1965. It's actually called the Hart Celler Act. And if you look up Hart
right.
and Celler, Hart and Celler are both Jews.
That's right. Yeah, a fact. Lincoln's right, folks. I mean, just, you know, there's an agenda here where there's a lot of nefarious groups, and a lot of these people, again, they want to subvert our nation, and they're doing a damn good job of it. I mean, you look at what they've achieved in the last 100 years. If you're trying to collapse America, I would look at them and go, you know, you've achieved a lot in a weird way, in a very negative way. They destroy nations. They destroy peoples. They destroy our way of life. You know, and that it is that's where we're at.
It's just very strange, man. That you know, that's we're going on an extremely. I like what you said earlier. You named it a soft communism, but you said you hit the nail on the head earlier on one of your calls where who founded communism. And who put this statue on this plaque on the Statue of Liberty? Who pushed the Immigration Act of 1965, Hart Celler Act? Who is responsible for the clergy plan, which is replacing whites in their own nations? You're exactly right. There is no immigration into Israel. There's no immigration into Japan. There's no immigration into that. It's only European nations, and America is very much a European nation where we are just expected to take on the full load, take on everyone, accept all these people, and then say stupid shit. Oh, my God. Stupid shit like, well, diversity is our strength by Biden. And then you have, you know, people like Trump saying, we want more immigration than ever, but they have to come legally. I don't care about that piece of paper in your hand saying you're legal or not illegal. This is supposed to be a white nation. It's supposed to be a European nation. I don't care about the paper in your hand that says whether you're illegal or not. We're back to the whole thing about two parties worship the same group of people who are trying to replace us.
That's right. That's right, and they are. And I don't care about this thing about, these MAGA people. Oh, it's okay if they come in, man, as long as they come in legally. Oh, my God, I'm going to slap them. They have a fascination with the law. They have a fascination with the word legally. If it's legal, then they think it's great. So that means that if the government tomorrow legalizes heroin and crack cocaine, they would be for it. Because that's what they always say. As long as it happens legally, I'm cool with it. Legally. My God, what morons.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a nationalist. I'm not a MAGA person, though. On Gab, I will put out some MAGA things, but I'm not a diehard MAGA. I voted for Trump, and I am glad, I'm very proud of my vote, but he's not perfect. And I always say that. These guys aren't perfect when they get up there. But my God, he was light years way better than Hillary. And her demon vermin swine. And he had his own problems. But these MAGA people, yeah, they talk this game of, they'll say, we're all for immigration as long as they come in legally. Well, BS. I'm not for that. I'm for closing the doors. I am for padlocking the doors of America and expunging people, deporting people. And I'm serious. We have too many over here that don't belong over here. Go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, but I agree. I don't necessarily agree that the entire Statue of Liberty should be torn down, but that plaque should be fucking removed. Unfortunately, we can't replace that plaque because if you take that plaque off, you'll be called a racist and anti-Semitic and things like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm for blowing it up. I think we need a coral reef there for the fish. We need to protect the sea and give them a home. We have to give the fish a home, man. I mean, that'd be a great home for all kinds of species of fish. You know, we care about our planet, Lincoln. We care. We care on the Von Wiehand Show. I just use the leftist lingo, and I use it against them. They always say we. No, I say no. We care more. We care more for the oceans than you do. We care more. That's what they say. I just throw it right back in their face, man. Lincoln, thank you, buddy. Great call. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, have a good night, brother.
You too, brother. Hail victory to Lincoln out there and to our brothers all over the nation. Well, I wanted to get to one more call. Irish Pirate, you're on next week, front and center. We're running up against the clock, unfortunately. We had a big show, a lot of great calls. And this immigration thing, we tackled it, I think, very, very well. As I analyze and think about our political situation in America, here is where hope enters the picture. There are far more of us than them, whether it be the evil UN armies, a Red Dawn invasion, an EMP attack in the dead of night, or rogue sinister agents within the current structure we live under. They attempt and love to give us the appearance that they have real superiority and strength. But I have war games that their hold over the levers of power is weak and tenuous. Once a few brave dissenters begin to stand up and resist, the masses will hesitantly begin to follow, and then it will roll into a tsunami that they can't even control. Think of crashing monster waves on the shoreline, creating its own kind of natural chaos. We are approaching a crucial point in America's history where we either bow down to the sinister minority or make our last stand felt and heard. Our goal should be to act in a way that would make the founding fathers who initiated our great revolution and American empire proud of our brave deeds and actions. We want to be above board. We do not seek war. But the enemies seek war against us. The enemy currently holds the high ground, but we are the many, the untested. But let them come. Even the colonial militia let the British march arrogantly into Lexington and Concord. Let them do what they must. Let them keep poking the bear and stepping on the people. Let them march in, because history, my friends, is never, ever kind to tyrannical rulers. And we will see to that. Broadcasting from my mountain stronghold, I wish you all a great night. Be safe out there. Thanks for calling into the show tonight. Our next program is next Thursday night. And we love you all. Stay strong. And we will talk to you very soon, my friends. Very soon, indeed.